E-Tidings Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tomila Folcher Rotensha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. The spring grass with its host of different flowers, be it then the summer grass with its own host of different flowers, covers up any tree limbs, branches or roots that might be left lying in a place. They provide a certain new beauty to such scenery. I wonder, are there areas in the mind too where old discarded ideas become covered by new fragrant ideas, thus giving to such areas a certain new beauty? And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, he said, sometimes of a winterish afternoon, the sun appears to be the moon. When it rains, when hailstones fall or it snows, what do the mountains think these to be? What do the trees, pasture lands, and rivers know mist to be? How might their understanding of these be different from what we understand them to be? Could our understanding of them, he said, be very similar, if not the same? In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. Come on, since the youth will not be entreated, his own pearl on his forwardness. Is yonder the man? Even he, madam. Alas, he is too young, yet he looks successfully. How now, daughter and cousin? Are you crept hither to see the wrestling? Aye, my liege, so please you give us leave. You will take little delight in it, I can tell you. There is such odds in the man. In pity of the challenger's youth, I would fain dissuade him, but he will not be entreated. Speak to him, ladies. See if you can move him. Call him hither, good Monsieur Le Beau. Do so. I'll not be by. Monsieur the challenger, the princesses call for you. I attend them with all respect and duty. Young man, have you challenged Charles the wrestler? No, fair princess, he is the general challenger. I come but in, as others do, to try with him the strength of my youth. Young gentlemen, your spirits are too bold for your years. You have seen cruel proof of this man's strength. If you saw yourself with your own eyes or knew yourself with your judgment, the fear of your adventure would counsel you to a more equal enterprise. We pray you, for your own sake, to embrace your own safety and give over this attempt. Do, young sir, your reputation shall not therefore be misprized. We will make it our suit to the Duke, that the wrestling might not go forward. I beseech you, punish me not with your hard thoughts, wherein I confess me much guilty to deny so fair and excellent ladies anything. But let your fair eyes and gentle wishes go with me to my trial, wherein, if I be foiled, there is but one shamed that was never gracious, if killed, but one dead that was willing to be so. I shall do my friends no wrong, for I have none to lament me, the world no injury, for in it I have nothing, only in the world I fill up a place, which may be better supplied when I have made it empty. The little strength that I have, I would it were with you, and mine to elk out hers. Fare you well. Pray heaven I be deceived in you. Your heart's desires be with you. Come, where is this young gallant that is so desirous to lie with his mother earth? Ready, sir, but his will had in it a more modest working. You shall try but one fall. No, I warrant your grace, you shall not entreat him to a second, that have so mightily persuaded him from a first. And you mean to mock me after? You should not have mocked me before, but come your ways. How Hercules be thy speed, young man. I would I were invisible to catch the strong fellow by the leg. Tao Dai Jing, Installment 18. When the great Tao is not in use, benevolence and righteousness come into vogue. When wisdom and shrewdness appear, there ensures great hypocrisy. When six kinships no longer live at peace, filial piety and lenity find their manifestation. When the state falls into chaos, loyal ministers appear. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate Vera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" There was once a man of the Roscommon Landry who had the strangest way ever of looking at things. What is meant by this is that he had the strangest way ever of considering things. From his childhood had he trained himself to first look at everything upside down. Anything that he could turn upside down, he would do so momentarily before re-standing it right side up. When he would look, say, at a tree, he would first turn his head down to invert his gaze, in that he would be looking at it from an upside-down point of view. And he would do that with everything, even if he met a fellow human being or a fox crossing in front of him. Things that he couldn't actually flip upside down, like, say, a bird flying, then he would let his imagination do the flipping for him. The same would be true of fields, groves, wellsprings, streams, rivers, lakes, woods, and mountains. He would have his imagination flip them and then back again. He would also have it do the same with the seashore. He would even have it flip clouds and falling rain and snow. The sky itself he would, be it with having the sun, moon, planets, or stars in it. Seemingly there was nothing that he couldn't look at from upside down. When he listened to anything, he would try to listen to it as if from its beginning. He would try and scent from the sources of a scent rather than the scent that was reaching him. He would taste the first going forth of a taste. He would feel the first going forth of a feeling. He would think the first going forth of a thought. And he would sense the first going forth of a sensation. When he came to looking back into the past, he would first momentarily put himself in the past, and from there he would look forward before looking back at it from the present. When he came to considering anything in the future, he would first momentarily place himself in the future, and from there look back to the present, before returning to look at it from the present. He would do the same with all of his thoughts and ideas. He would first have his imagination flip them. Endless were they in such and the like, the things that he would momentarily invert to more fully consider them. When asked why he would first flip anything, either physically or by means of his imagination, he would always say that everything can only be truly sized up by first momentarily inverting it. And it was said that he would encourage people to give it a go to see for themselves. He found an interesting thing, though, that children often were much better at doing it than adults. And even he thought that it was something that adults carelessly discarded as they were growing up. And when asked how he discovered the usefulness of inversion, he answered by saying that he once noticed a dog doing it, turn his head sideways, as if to look at something differently or listen to something differently. And he had tried it himself, he being only 5 at the time. but instead of just going partially the way around like the dog, he stood on his hands and looked at the dog. And he fell over with laughter, for when he did so, the dog was looking at him sideways, both in wonderment and confusion, and with a certain amount of excitement and playfulness mixed in. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, will all your paths be of steadfast loving, your joy ever brimming over. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought, too, for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.